Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. Actually, I guess it's good afternoon. It's my morning. But you're listening to Shell's 3 Cents, where ordinary people face their interests, concerns, fears, and curiosities by participating in engaging, witty, and often comedic dialogue. And I'm Michelle Burry, your host. If you'd like to call in today, the number is 516-418-5940. But my guest is someone you're not going to be able to ask questions to, but you can still call in and chat with me. Well, I don't know how your Saturday morning started off, but here in Los Angeles, it started off pretty chaotic. A police chase came to an end right in the heart of downtown LA this morning as suspects darted from a moving SUV. Sounds like something straight out of a thriller, right? But at any rate, they caught one of the suspects, and two of them remain at large. A Glendale police officer interviewed at the scene, he says that the suspects in the vehicle were wanted for burglary in Glendale, and he did confirm that one had been arrested. And this was an interesting chase. It went for a while. It went down the 134 freeway, found its way on the 110, and then all of a sudden popped up in downtown. So again, if you are downtown, be careful. If you see anything, let the police know. They do think these suspects may have run into a building. So just be aware of that. Sad news also out in Pico Rivera. A 16-year-old girl was stabbed to death. Police suspect her ex-boyfriend was her attacker. And that incident occurred about 3:15 this morning in the 9800 block of Shea Lane over in Pico Rivera. The teenage girl just was heard screaming about 3 o'clock this morning, and then she ran into her mom's room, and the mom then realized she'd been stabbed and called the police. Unfortunately, the girl died before she could be transported to a hospital, but she did tell her mom some things that have led police to her assailant. They know for sure it was her ex-boyfriend, according to what she said. So then again, the LA coroner, LAPD, they're not releasing any of these folks' names because of their age. I guess he's a teen as well. So our prayers are with that family. And if you have any information, please call the Sheriff's Department, 323-890-5500. Another thing that's kind of interesting to note in the news this morning, more than 2,000 Southern Californians die early each year from, guess what, polluted air. So they're doing some studies right now to see if the area can benefit from reducing ozone and fine particle pollution, which clearly it can. So I'm not sure why we're doing more studies on this, but they've brought in New York University and the American Thoracic Society to conduct some tests. So you will see folks in the area, may even be approached by people asking your opinion about different things. Or if you have asthma, they are looking for you too. So don't be surprised if your physician contacts you to participate in some studies. Now, many of my fans are big Elvis fans. Many of my listeners are big Elvis listeners. So today, we're going to reflect and remember the king of rock and roll. This year, actually, Elvis has been dead for 39 years. I know they put on the website 40, but he's been dead 39 years this year. So we're going to honor him and remember him, and I thought a neat way to do it would be to allow you to listen to an interview in his own words. And there you go. You're going to get it from the mouth of Elvis.
We love you, Elvis. Oh, yes, we do. We love you, Elvis, and we'll be true. When you're not near us, we're blue. Oh, Elvis, we love you.
All right. Ready to hit rock and roll. That's fun. Would sing and they would cry. The crowd had a kick, and you know why. He shook the whole wide world when he gave us rock and roll. Then we began to rock, and we couldn't stop. Oh no, no, cause from Tennessee he came, his majesty, the man with the voice of gold, sailing and swinging and doing
Interview number 3 took place in the Warwick Hotel in New York City. Record a date with March 24th, 1956.
Elvis, how you feel?
Well, I feel real good.
Well, how about that recording you went to make for your mother? Is that the way it happened?
Yes, that's exactly the way it happened.
What was it going to be of? What record were you going to make for it?
Oh, well, I made the record. In fact, we still have the record at home. It's so thin. The record I made was Happiness. Mm-hmm. And then one of the H-Spots numbers.
Was this for a birthday present for your mother?
I did it. See, I work 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. And then on Saturday, well, I called this recording company up, and I asked them, could they make another record? Mm-hmm. You know, they make personal dose for weddings and things like that.
I mean, was it for any special occasion?
No, nothing. I just made it.
Was it for your mother or just for
the family? No, I made it. You know, to surprise her. I came in and played it.
Yeah.
It was me singing.
Well, had you done much singing around before then?
No, I never did. Never did sing anywhere much in my life. The only time I ever sung maybe was on a little variety show at school, maybe once every 4 years or something.
Did you have your guitar with you on this record?
Yes, I had a little $12 guitar. Sounded like somebody beating on a bucket lid or something.
Yeah. Did you do anything more with electricity?
No, I don't. I give it up completely. In fact, I was, during the time I was working for the electric company, I was in doubts whether I would ever make it or not because, you have to keep your mind, you know, right on what you're doing, and you can't be in the least bit absent-minded or you ought to blow somebody's house up.
Yeah.
I didn't think I was the type for it, really, but I was going to give it a try, you know. I was going to devote all the time I could to learning.
What kind of truck were you driving?
I was driving a little Dodge pickup.
What sort of business was
that? Well, it was an electric business. You see, what I was doing, I was driving a truck, and every once in a while, they would be short of help on one of the jobs. I would deliver material to the different locations where they were wiring houses or building something, you know. And sometimes they would let me help wire or something.
How much did you earn?
Most of it, about 40 a week.
You were at that how long?
I was there about 6 months. Of course, you know, electricians make much more money than that, but that's what I started out with.
What kind of hobbies have you got outside of riding a motorcycle?
Well,
and girls.
Well, I wouldn't call it a hobby, but it's a pastime. I like motorcycle riding, I like water skiing.
You get to do much water skiing?
I do during the summer. Quite a bit.
Is there a lake then?
Yes.
You don't fool around with a hi-fi rig at home or anything?
No,
you
don't
have time for it now.
How about your motorcycle? Do you do any racing on it or just no?
No, I don't do any racing on it. Whenever I'm home, when it's kind of warm. Of course, a motorcycle's not made for the wintertime at all. But, I get a trail out of this ride.
You just go out by yourself, you don't belong to it.
No, I don't belong to a group. I'm not home enough for that. I just take my friends riding or something.
You don't wear a black leather jacket?
Yeah, I do, because that's just that's part of it.
Yeah. What else is part of it? You do a big belt?
I don't know that. I usually wear a black jacket and a black cap.
You like that song? Black leather jacket.
You like denim trousers?
Who do you think is the greatest country and western singer alive today?
I like Sonny James. Oh, I couldn't mention all of them.
Yeah. Like them all, huh?
Yeah, In other words, I like anybody that, I admire anybody that's good, you know? Regardless of what kind of singer they are, whether they're religious, rhythm and blues, hillbilly, or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
If they're great, I mean, I like them from Roy Acuff on up to Mario Lanza. I just admire them if they are really great.
Yeah.
They have really built a name for themselves.
Mm-hmm. How about religious singing yourself? Do you do some of that on your personal appearances?
Not on my personal appearances, I don't, because I have out so many records, and usually, as a rule, our show is timed so that I don't even get to do half of my records.
Mm-hmm.
So,
do you think you might do a religious album sometime?
We have talked about it. Victory. In other words, I think that I might get a completely different following if I did.
Mm-hmm.
Get some new followers, man.
Mm-hmm. What kind of music do you listen to outside of the country and western blues?
Pop, a snake.
What do you think is your favorite singer?
In any field?
Yeah. One you most admire.
It's a pretty hard question to answer. I'm going with it.
Oh, yeah.
Frank Sinatra.
Did you ever listen to any opera or concert solos at home in your church?
No, I like Mario Lanza. I like anything he records.
Is that Serenade open yet?
I don't know when it's open yet.
What's your favorite of your own songs?
I Was the One.
I Was the One, yes. Is that on the album?
Put it outside of Harvard, okay.
How do you like the album?
Well, it's I like the way it's selling.
Yeah.
But there's three or four pretty good numbers in it.
Which do you like best?
Out of the album?
Yeah.
It's one called One-Sided Love Affair.
Is that on the Fast One, or?
Yeah, it's fast.
Yeah. Do you like the fast ones better than the balance usually?
With me singing them, I do.
That's what I mean.
But as far as my own listening pleasure, I'm really listening to somebody else sing a ballad. A real beautiful ballad, something like I'll Be Home, or something like Pat Boone's. But me singing that, I could do it.
Well, your fans seem to like the fast ones best too, I think.
Any audience, as a rule, they go for a fast number,
yeah.
A moving number on stage. In fact, I don't know about other people, but me, I've got on stage and I'll do two or three fast ones and I'll have them all hopped up and I'll stop them real slow when I lose them for a while. They don't sleep on you.
Yeah. How do you feel about your fans, kids?
Oh, I just wish there was some way that you could go down to every one of them and really show that you appreciate, you know, their lack of love.
Mm-hmm.
But that's impossible, really. I mean, lots of times they have a crowd on the door, maybe 300 or 400 of them, crowd on the stage door, and you have to sign a few autographs and close the door, you know, and leave.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the people will close up the auditorium or something like that. It makes me feel real bad because we can't get to all of them.
Are they kids of all ages, I think?
All ages.
Mostly girls. Well,
yeah.
I heard a woman, a middle-aged woman, say that she wanted somebody to say hello to you for her son who was in the military.
Yeah.
Do you have any real close friends from your childhood that you still...
Yes, sir. I have quite a few. A lot of them I haven't seen in years. I have quite a few friends in Tupelo where I was born and raised. And then there's some people in Memphis now that are real close to me.
How do they feel about your success?
Well, they all seem to be backing me up, you know.
Sure. There was one of the stories that said you were a little afraid of what they'd think when you first...
Yeah, so when our first record came out, I was a little eerie of it. I thought people would laugh.
Well, you, did you study any dramatics in high school, or did you,
No, I didn't.
Yeah,
I didn't. Except when I was maybe in the 5th or 6th grade, I was in a few Christmas plays or something.
You think a lot of your folks have
heard you. Yeah, I do.
Follow me.
Every day.
Yeah, tough long time.
Well, my mother, especially my mother, she was always worried about, a wreck or something, me getting sick. So I have to let her know, because she's not in real good health anyway, and if she worries too much, it might not be good for you. So I make it a habit of calling them every day or so.
Yeah. You just got a new house in Memphis?
Yes. They moved in Tuesday.
What kind of house is it?
Just the, it's a ranch type, seven room house, three bedrooms, and a den, a playroom. So, it's a pretty nice place.
Yeah, I imagine. You getting a lot of new furniture, too?
Yes, we have to have to fill seven rooms. You have to have quite a bit of furniture. This is the one off of Gitmo. We just moved off of Gitmo.
What does your father do now?
He takes care of all my business. In other words, he's much more important to me at home than he is on the job.
Yeah.
Because I have so much stuff piled up on me when I'm gone. And if he wasn't there to help me, when I got in at home, I wouldn't get a bit of ease. He takes care of everything. Any business that pops up, any insurance or just oodles of things I can mention, he takes care of me.
What's the Elvis Presley Productions?
Enterprise.
Enterprise.
Well, that's not anymore. Last year in 55, I was my manager was Bob Neal, who's a disc jockey in Memphis. And we organized Elvis Presley Enterprises and had an office. But when I signed up with Colonel Tom Parker in Nashville, we didn't figure we needed the office anymore, so he's handed everything out of Nashville.
Saving any money?
Yes, sir.
A lot. I mean, you're earning each year.
No, I
know. You have any special plans? What you're going to do?
Stock some money? I'm going to save every penny that I don't have to have. Because I have to spend a lot because I got lost over the year. But I mean, I don't blow any unnecessary,
As far as you're in the sense of Colonel Tom Parker has given you a lot of advice and help. What kind?
Everything. In other words, he's the one guy that really gave me a big break. In other words, I don't know for sure, but I don't think I would have ever been very big if it had been for him. He's very smart.
You got a lot of sports jackets and suits, a lot of clothes.
I had quite a few.
You had? What happened?
Well, actually, in the past year, I've outgrown most of the things I've had.
Yeah, really? Still growing?
When I started singing, I was gaining more weight. Yeah. When I started singing, I weighed 153 pounds. I weigh 184 now.
Oh, you haven't grown up?
No, I haven't gotten any taller, but I mean, I'm putting on a little more weight. In fact, I was playing football when I was in school, and I didn't weigh enough to kind of against the big boys. Yeah.
When you're not near us.
crown him king. And you know why? He shook the whole wide world when he gave us rock and roll. And we began to rock, and we couldn't stop. Oh, no, no. Cross from Tennessee, he came as majesty, the man with the gold, the gold. Sailing and swinging and doing that rock and roll. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time. You nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time. Well, you ain't ever caught a rabbit, and you ain't no friend of mine.
This is Len Leonard. The first interview you are about to hear took place in Texarkana, Arkansas. Recorded date was May 6, 1955.
Scotty Moore, come over here and say howdy to all your friends in Texarkana, will you?
Howdy. Say hello to all the fine folks down in Texarkana.
I said that before. Now you go ahead and say something new.
Well, we want to invite everybody out to the show Friday night. And we're going to have two shows at 7 and 9. And they've all been asking about the drummer that we had up there last time, DJ Fontana. And he's going to be with us. He's a regular member of our band now. He'll be there with us Friday night, along with Floyd Kramer and Jimmy Day, the Louisiana Hayride Band. And, of course, all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll provide a whole lot of picking and all those... numbers that folks like to hear so well, like Baby Let's Play House and I Forgot to Remember. Might even find Maybelline along the line there someplace. Tell you what, before we call over some other folks here to talk, Elvis Presley, how are you doing?
Fine, Bobbert. How you getting along?
Oh, doing grand. I know all the folks down at Texarkana have been raising such a hoop and a holler for you to come down and hoop and holler at them that we've got this great big double show scheduled for Friday night at the auditorium down there. What do you think about it?
Oh, well, Bob, I've been just as anxious to come back as I could be. We've been, I think this makes about the fourth or fifth time we've been to Texarkana. And we've been lucky. Every time we've gone back, the crowd has increased a little bit. And we've really been proud of that because it's kind of unusual, you know.
Well, it's been about 4 months now since the last time you were in Texarkana. And aside from that, we've got some extra fine entertainers to take along. I'd like to mention this boy, Johnny Cash from Memphis, who wrote and recorded Cry, Cry, Cry and Hey Porter. Johnny is a swell young fella. I know everybody's going to want to watch him work and see him on the big show. And you've worked with Charlene Arthur from the Big D, haven't you?
I've worked with Charlene quite a bit, and she's one of the finest entertainers on stage I've ever seen.
Her new record of Kiss the Baby Goodnight is sure a hot one, too.
Well, I don't know about Kissing the Baby Goodnight, but... In all seriousness, Bob, we got I think this is about the best one that we brought to Texarkana so far, because I don't know whether any of these people have ever been up that way or not, Charlene Arthur and Johnny Cash.
None of them have appeared in Texarkana.
I don't think they've ever appeared in Texarkana, and... We're going to look forward. We've got two shows, one at 7 and one at 9, right?
Correct. You know, I guess one of the noisiest guys in all this outfit is Bill Black, who thumps on the bass and occasionally tells a story or two and just in general messes things up. Bill, come over and say howdy to your fans and thanks for granted.
Bob, I just wanted to say one thing at Friday night we'll be down there. I'll have a brand spanking new pose of Elvis for a picture, and they'll be selling the same old price of only a quarter. And I'll have about 4 or 5 million of them. If anybody would like to have just one, why, I'll have plenty of them before the show, during intermission, after the show. And the fact is, I may sell them out there all night long, so anyway, around. That's all I got to say, well.
That's all you got to say. You're going to save the rest of it for Friday night, huh? Well, neighbors, like we mentioned, we're all excited about the big double show at Texarkana Friday night. And I'm going to be there, too. And you can look out for me and get ready to buy me a hot dog or something like that. We're going to have such a big time, though, with stars like Charlene Arthur and Johnny Cash. Yeah, Johnny may be kind of new to the folks down around Texarkana, but after you see him and hear him, I know you're going to like him. And, of course, the King of Western Bop, Elvis Presley, will be there doing all of those numbers with the big Louisiana Hayride gang. So, Elvis, before we wind up this little session of talking and so forth, why don't you, we'll greet the friends down in Texarkana once again and invite them to the show.
Well, Bob, I think you just about covered everything, except we've got lots of friends in Texarkana. The few times we've been down there, we've really made a lot of friends. But I would like to invite everybody out Friday night to our big show because I don't know when we'll be coming back that way. We're going on tour out in the West Coast and Canada and a lot of places. It'll probably be a pretty long while before we can come back to Texarkana. We're going to be looking forward to a good crowd.
Yes, sir. I doubt, frankly, whether we'll be able to get back to Texarkana this year. But we want to see everybody at the big shows Friday night. Remember now, there are two shows, 7 and 9 o'clock at the Arkansas Municipal Auditorium. If you can't get there for the first one, well, come for the second one. And if you want to, stay and see them both. I know that you'll see a real terrific show with Charlene Arthur, Johnny Cash, Elvis Presley, Scotty and Bill, all the gang. This is Bob Neal, who's been talking with Scotty Moore and Bill Black and Elvis Presley. We want to thank you for letting us do a little speaking, and we'll see you for the big one Friday night.
And this This is Michelle Murray, and you've been listening to Shell's True Sense. Thank you for tuning in, everyone, and have a great day.